Welcome to Your Next Mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Hello out there, warriors, past and present, and your families, and thank you for serving our great country, and welcome to Season 3 of Your Next Mission Video Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, always love saying that, and your host. And if you've watched us in the past, if you haven't, there's something wrong with you, but you may have noticed that we're coming to you from a brand new studio this year. We got a new look, just like my shirt, we got a new look. We got a new season. And we're looking forward to talking to with some more incredible guests. This is all possible because of our generous support of our presenting sponsors. And I personally want to thank Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, we love them too. We have a great show for you today. We're going to focusing on transitioning. And I'm excited. In fact, I'm just pumped up. I can't get out of my seat here a little bit. I'm excited to introduce Command Sergeant Major Herman Estrada, recently retired from the Group Support Battalion, 10th Special Forces Group at Fort Carson, Colorado, after serving 29 years. You know, I call somebody who served 29 years, I call them a quitter. I served 36. Hey, just a minute ago, you was telling about your family. I was going to get into something else. Tell me a little bit about your family that you talked about just a second ago. Well, first of all, thanks for being on the show. I'm going to say that first of all. But now tell me about your family.
Sergeant Major Army Tilly, you know, it's funny because we were just talking and, you know, yes, I have 9 kids, 16 grandkids. And I fostered 3 other young men that have recently joined the Army. You know, to have that big family and to have an influence and to show them the right path, you know, out of those 9 kids, I had a couple of them join the military. And those foster kids have joined the military, too. And now our grandkids are reaching the age where they can join the military. And our first granddaughter joined the Marine Corps. She ships out September time frame.
Oh my goodness.
And then my last foster kid, he ships out October to the Army. So I have that kind of impact and influence. You know, it's one thing to be proud, you know, but at the same time, remember, you got to be humble because, you know, it's their time. It's not your time. But at the same time, I cheer them on. Now I'm that spectator. Just like you said, I'm a quitter and I'm cheering them on. And hey, I'm proud to be that quitter now.
Well, let me take the bat. You're not a quitter. You're a quitter. I'm just harassing you.
No.
Let's be. You know, you're doing a great job, and I'm blessed to have you on the show. You know, you've had quite a career, but you haven't exactly been sitting around the pool. You're a motivator. You're a social media influencer. You're a brand innovator. What led you down that path?
You know, Sergeant Major. You know, to be able to start talking about that. I mean. You'd have to look at the beginning. And, you know, I usually talk about, you know, my story. We all have a story, you know. Yeah, we got our ups and downs and our adversity. Some are worse than others. But for me, it was looking back. And as I began to share my life on social media with others, like, you know, our soldiers, and help them understand that many of them are no different than us because
Absolutely.
We're human. You know,
yes.
It's a human factor. And, when they begin to hear that story, then they can relate to you, not only as a leader, but as a soldier and as a person. And I did that because you got to believe in how are you going to connect with soldiers? You know, there's so many things that the Army provides to soldiers and how you're supposed to teach, coach, and mentor them. But when you are transparent and honest, you know, soldiers respect you for that. And that's the type of leadership I developed. But as I tell my story, I talk to them about my decisions and choices because it's an ongoing process through life, you know. And I tell soldiers, you know, the decision and the choices is where we're all different because we're created equal until it's time to make choices. The younger me understood that later in life because it caught up to me, you know. And then I began to realize that responsibility comes with accountability, and what I do and what I say has a meaning. And I can tell you that at the end of the day, when you open your mind and your heart and you begin to see those decisions and choices, it changes the perspective in your life. And then it begins to want, I know I began to want to do better. And it took a little more adversity, you know. I was building super Walmarts, living on the streets, you know, but it helped me understand that this is not what I wanted to do. And as I talk about, you know, riding my 10 speed to that job site every day, working till midnight, because, you know, you wait till the masonries are done to fill the cells with that grout that makes that wall strong. You know, you're out there late at night, hard work, hot sun in Texas. That was in Granbury, Texas. It was horrible, you know, and it taught me a lesson. It taught me, you know, hard work works, but if you're not applying it to your life, then nothing works, you know? So that's where it all began for me, you know, the decision and motivating and sharing my life story with people.
Well, you know, you talk about a lot of things that I certainly got interested in when I was every person needs something different to motivate them. Every person needs, you know, everybody's not the same. You know, you got to find out, especially as a leader that you was talking about, you got to find out the one thing that makes that person better, gets the best out of them. That's what leaders do, and that's what you're doing. I tried to do the same thing when I was a soldier. I tried to lead people and get the best out of them. But I tell you what, I'm sure the best years of my life are ahead. There always are. But I had wonderful years in the United States military that I enjoyed so much. And I learned a lot from a lot of people. Sergeant Major, you've had a very unique story, no different than mine. I mean, I was sort of a troubled youth when I was a kid, and I did a lot of crazy things. But at the same time, you carried a lot of responsibility. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, the responsibility that I talk about, you know, as holding myself accountable, and that's being, you know, the decision I make. You know, they kicked me out of the house. My dad and my mom were pretty much tired of how I was acting, you know, because I was doing bad things, running around late at night, you know, hanging with gangs and just doing crazy stuff. And the thing that got me was that, you know, my parents would actually kick me out. You know, and I was roaming the streets, and, you know, everybody talks about where you're my friend, man, you're my friend. But only then will you really truly begin to understand who your true friends are.
Yeah.
And I like to say things, you know, I tell people you'll learn who your friends are and they'll disappear. And late at night, even your shadow disappears on you at night.
Yeah.
You know, so you're left alone. And I tell people, you know, roaming the streets, not knowing where you're going to stay, where you're going to eat. You know, dodging the cops because they're looking for kids that are running out in the late at night. You know, it was hard, you know, and not knowing where I was going to sleep. And then dropping out of high school was another thing. You know, I made a decision, you know what? Nobody cares. I don't care. So that responsibility was left up to me. So, you know, once again, the decision I made was to drop out of high school. And it wasn't until one older lady down near where my parents live, she gave me a little camping trailer. It was small. It was no bigger than probably 10 by 10. It was a very small trailer, you know. And I remember her helping me get that job at that construction site. And I had to pay $100 every week for that place, for electricity, water, bought my own food, bought the 10 speed that took me to work. And it wasn't until I got hurt, you know, when I really began to understand my responsibility to myself. You know, and I'm laid out because I busted a bag of lime on myself, and not knowing, maybe if I would have stayed in school, I would have learned that lime was toxic, you know, and it's raining and I got all this lime on me. And I didn't know till the next morning that it caused third degree burns. It ate my skin. I remember being laid out, you know, and thinking, like, you know, crying and like, nobody wants me at that time. You know, I blamed everybody, my parents, I blamed everyone, you know. Even the owner, they had me working there. You're like, this guy got me doing this, and this is why I'm how I am. And it wasn't until I began to cry, pray to God a little, you know. And I remember turning the TV on, and I saw my first Army commercial. It was Be All You Can Be in the Army.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember that.
I remember, I wiped my eyes, you know, a little bit. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I got to change something. And I got to hold myself responsible and accountable for my decisions. So, you know, I got out of the hospital, got better, and went to high school and tried to go back to school. And they were like, hey, you're too old. You know, you're at the age where we can't take you. And once again, you know, shot down out of the sky. So they sent me to an alternative school there in Granbury, Texas. And I went to that school. It was called the STAR program because it's a new program. I think it's an adult education center. But when I got there, they asked me, you know, we'll help you get your GED. And I was like, no, I want my diploma. You know, I need to get my diploma. I need my diploma. So I began that journey. So now I worked half a day, which was at night, and I went to school half a day, and I still rode that bike. Now it was 10 miles the other way. And I did that for a while until I graduated. I finally graduated and got my diploma. I remember it was a Friday afternoon when I took the test, and I was waiting all day. They was like, hey, you can go home. We'll call you. I was like, nah, I'm not going nowhere. I'm waiting to see this grade. And I actually passed. And then began the next journey, which was trying to pass the ASVAB, which is another struggle. I had to study. It took about 8 times, and then I joined the Army. And that's when I began to really rationalize with myself, like, okay, man, when you make decisions, they're going to have outcomes. So now I had to learn to be a little more responsible. I did have kids already. So I thought to myself, you know, what I do now is going to have an impact on them as well. So that's where I just began, you know, that motivation and inspiring myself to be better, you know, because I had a lot of naysayers telling me you're not going to make it. You're only going to last so long. And I began to use that negative energy to build a positive in my life. And that's when I began, you know, thinking about the things I could do for myself first before I could help others.
Yeah,
it was a struggle. But, you know, as the Army, they give you the ability to show what you can do. So that was easy for me. PT was a joke because I rode that bike every day and I worked in picking up bags of sand. And that was easy. I was like, you're going to pay me to do that? Heck yeah. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much, you know, that first chapter in my life that I had to overcome. And it was filled with a lot of adversity. I mean, at any given time, I could quit. But I'd always tell myself, you know, if you quit, where do you go from here? And that's when I began to think, you know what? On the other side of that mindset is a place where I know that there are things that are waiting for me if I just work hard at it.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. You know, I use that every day. What can I do today to be better than I was yesterday?
Yeah.
And that's the mentality I maintained for a while, you know. And it was great because it helped me get where I needed to go.
You know, that's a great news story. You know, a great story, a great Army story. You know, I was a little, I'm going to tell you about, a little bit about myself. I was spent about 9 months in reform school. I wasn't a good kid. I always thought I'd be dead by the time I was 25. I was going in the wrong direction. And going to being locked up for a little bit sort of changed my life. It moved me in a different direction than. And I really didn't have, you know, I always talk with people about the circle of life. I didn't have no direction to go in. And one day I've told this story a lot, but I was sitting on a beach and a guy said, what are you going to do with your life? And I said, I don't know. He said, you want to go to college? No self-esteem, no money, no nothing. I'm not going to college. And the other guy said, hey, look, let's join the Army. I said, sure, okay. I didn't even know they was fighting a war. I went basic AIT jump school, and I was in Vietnam, you know, 6 months after going to serve. But I say that because the Army made you, your parents too, and everybody else associated, but the Army changed your life, and it made you look at things. And in return to that, you did the same for a lot of people. You've changed their life. And really, I always tell people, there's a lot of people as good as I am, but there's nobody better. I don't look down on myself. I don't look down on nobody else. But I want to do the best I can in life. And that's what you're doing right now. I God bless you for what you're doing. You're making, I love that your stories like this because you're making an impact. You're changing lives. You know, the month of September is National Hispanic Heritage Month, where we can celebrate the histories and, of course, the cultures and contribution of the Hispanic Americans. What does that mean to you?
You know, being Hispanic in today's Army is more than just about how I feel. It's about paving the way for the many new soldiers, you know, that are Hispanic, allowing them to understand that we're making our contribution to our nation, you know. And as Hispanics, it's about dedication and the service to our country, for our families and our brothers in arms. I know I want to leave a legacy for my kids, you know, and their kids. And I know that to be a part of something bigger in this life, you must work hard at it. All right. And stay disciplined at all we do. You know, Hispanics and Latinos, we have a strong bond for family. We're well known to be in, you know, have a big family, as you can tell, and being very tight. But it's important to us to do the one thing that the Army always talks about. You know, it talks about leading by example and making your family name proud. And so what I want to do is I want to find, you know, I want to leave this place better than what I found.
Absolutely.
I want to leave an organization where everybody can come behind me and know that, hey, did you ever hear about this, you know, Hispanic that did this? You know, I don't want to be remembered as this, the Hispanic CSM. I want to be remembered for, hey, this guy helped and dedicated his time to give back to others. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
And that's what it means to me to, you know, to serve my country. And I'm proud of this country and I'm proud of my service and what it means to others.
Yeah. I tell you the other thing, you made me think a lot of stuff there, but I think you got to stay focused. You know, right? You got, you know, there's things on your left and right you got to worry about, but stay in your lane of responsibility and you know, help people out just as much as you can. And I think a lot of people, and I tell people this all the time, a lot of people say thank you and all this other stuff through your service and stuff, but they just say thank you. Show me, you know, get out there and show me the kind of things that you want to do, you know. I always liked that General Shinseki used to say, you know, roll your sleeves up and get the job done. You know, that's what America's about. You know, everything's not going to be given to you. You got to work hard and reach for it. You know, I'm just blessed. I'm blessed to have served, blessed to live in this country, and blessed to serve with guys like you. Even though I was a Sergeant Major Army and you was a Sergeant E5, I guess I didn't bump into you too much, but I'm proud of you anyway.
Sergeant Major. It's still just what you brought to the table and what you preached and what, when you talk, you know, we listen. So to be that sergeant during your reign, you know, it's outstanding. It's an honor to be here just talking with you, you know.
Well, yeah.
It's every person's dream to do that.
Well, the other thing is we're all soldiers. It doesn't matter if you're a 4-star general or a private. Just because we give a rank and responsibility, we're all basic soldiers and soldiers. And really, we're all part of a family. So if you got problems, I got problems. And we got to make sure we take care of each other. Sergeant Major, you're now officially, almost officially retired. And everything I've read about you, you can tell that serving the Army was an honor and a privilege. Can you talk a little bit, elaborate on that just a little bit?
You know, as I look back, and, you know, and I talked about my story and everything, you know, it's been an honor to be a leader in this Army. But, you know, I stated some things before on social media because, you know, I wanted others to listen to what I had to say. But I talked about leadership and I talked about the organization, the Army, and I talked about how it's made up of people. All right. The priority should always be our people. And I believe in that before that it was even said, you know, how we teach, coach, and mentor those soldiers to develop them into the next generation of leaders is on us. We have to assume that task. And that's what makes me proud because I've seen the leaders before me do that for me. And it's important that I do it as well. But if the priority is our people, then what are we doing? What are we saying? Because without these people and the soldiers, we can't achieve the missions, the Army's mission, and that's taking care of our soldiers and guaranteeing that this Army will continue to be a great Army, you know, and it's on us as leaders. But then you look at the readiness, you know, I talk about we got to train. We got to prepare for any and all operational environments, you know, that may come our way because you never know what the operation environment is going to ask from you. You know, you never know. But I have a statement that my colonel loves. He has always mentioned it, even tells his wife sometimes. And he says, I tell them, hey, sir, if we train every day to be ready, We don't have to train to get ready.
Yep.
So that's the mentality I want soldiers to have. You can't get ready when it's time to go. It's too late. So you got to do that now. And it's important that we hear that and we say it and we preach it and we lead it by example, because the nation is going to count on us to be ready. You know, how do you develop your people? You know, and that's important to me as well, because if you see it, I'm always talking about lead, motivate, and inspire, people readiness development. And the development important is important as well, because as we talk about transition, this is where transition ripples in effect to us. And you got to be ready. What are you investing in soldiers? Allow them to grow, all right? In all areas of soldiers, and allowing them to be that leader as they grow, you know? And investing in, the investment in return is in how much time we spend with them, you know, because time is something that you can't get back. So time is the most precious gift you can give anyone, even a soldier, because time will teach them, you know, how a true leader that cares about their people, give them their time.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I've been prideful about these last, you know, decade and a half is doing those things. And I'll never forget it. You know, my service will always be a part of me and my family, because I continue to push, you know, my grandkids and my kids in the Army or the Marine Corps. You know, at the end of the day, it's about that. And then the last thing I want to say is, I got this other statement that I got from General Reagan. You know, he used to say, strong soldiers create strong sergeants. Strong sergeants create strong soldiers. And I've been pushing that for the last couple of years because I believe in that. Because we need each other. Because that soldier will become a sergeant. And he will look back at his soldiers and they will help him be stronger, because they will give him so many things that he has to learn and work on that he will become that sergeant. So those are the things that I'm prideful about in the Army.
You know, you said so many good things. I wish I had a piece of paper. I've been writing all that stuff down to sort of come back on it. But a lot of things that you're talking about, leading by example, train the way you're going to fight. You know, I used to tell guys in my unit that if we're going to go to war, I want you to train the same way, that the same body armor, same everything. I'm going to make sure that you're ready, because in our profession, there's no second best. If you either win or you lose, and if you lose with your life. The second thing is that, you know, I mean, we're all part of a family. We all need to succeed together. We all need to accomplish the mission and get the job done. We're all part of a family. The other thing, I probably forgot about some of the things I want to say, but we're not the biggest army in the world. You know, China, India, and then the United States Army. But what makes us different than everybody else is the training, the non-commissioned officer corps, the soldiers, the officers that lead our formations. You know, it's about what we do each and every day. So I'm like you. I'm proud to say I served, and I'll continue to serve. Only serving a different capabilities, I guess, but a different way now. But now that you're transitioning out, I want you to share with the audience on how you prepared, you know, for what your experience is going to be like with for you and your family when you get out.
You know, transition is gotten better. You know, the one thing, you know, the Army's great at training us to go to combat, preparing us for anything. But at one point, it was kind of hard because it wasn't actually transitioning us out. I can say this much now, you know, as I went to the Sergeant Major Academy, you know, they had a pilot course they were working on to try to prepare Sergeant Majors to make them understand that, hey, it's important that you look after yourself and prepare yourself when you're getting out. And that course was awesome. They had like Deloitte there. They had all these awesome companies that were sharing their knowledge. But as I transition out, you know, I think it's a better transition now. We're there, but not there yet. You know, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I got you.
The transition is there, but it needs to get a little bit better. But I think it's getting there. The one thing I'll tell you just from my experience right now, you know, is it's an emotional roller coaster. I tell you, there's days I'm at a high, there's days I'm at a low. You begin to think about, you know, the Army. I knew I had a paycheck on the 15th and the first of the month. But now when you get out, you don't know when that check's hitting. You know, even though there's a retirement check, I haven't seen that yet. So, you know, those are things that are in my mind. And I begin to look at where am I going to work? You know, everybody's telling me that, hey, we got you, we want to hire you, but I'm not there yet. You know, and it's that one thing that nobody tells you is the unknown. You don't know what you don't know. And if there's anything I'll tell anyone on this show that's listening, is you got to have a mentor. You got to talk. You know, the Army's always talking about, hey, how are they going to tell us how to be an Army if they're civilians and they have never been in the Army? Well, how are we going to tell people to transition if they're still in the Army?
Yeah.
You got to have someone that's done it, has been successful, and can give you the pointers you need. And that's what I've done. I've used a lot of people that have a lot of Sergeant Majors that are out of the Army that are good friends, Mark Halliburton, Garrett Griffin, you know, those individuals that have been out for a while, you know, to help me prepare. And the medical piece, I can't tell you enough. Taking care of your medical, especially right now in the Army, they're so backed up, you know, with COVID taking some of the people out and they're not been able to fill some of the positions. You know, they're backlogged for 45 days.
Oh, I'm
talking about 45 days that you're not able to get your medical records to prepare a claim for VA. That's bad, you know. So you got to start beginning to look at things now, situation with finances. You know, you got to start looking at your finances. How am I living? Am I over my means? Do I need to cut back? And, you know, you got to remember at the end of the day, when you're looking for a job, when you're transitioning, the way I did is I'm looking just to make up what I used to make, you know, because I survived with that. And then whatever else is extra. So don't oversell yourself, but also know your worth when you're at the table dealing with a new job. But at the end of the day, you know, just going home to my family and being with them, it's going to be a little different. They're all happy, I'll tell you that much. Grandkids, daughters, sons, you know, they're ready for us to get back home and to be in the civilian sector. I get calls every day. My wife and my kids just, Dad, is it time yet? I was like, no, we ain't there yet. You know, but it's being patient. But it's going to end. And like I tell you, you just got to prepare yourself. Like I said, mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, and just hold on for the ride and have somebody to help you. I think that's some of the things that I'm looking at and talking to some of these senior leaders that are out, is trying to work a method that we can provide some mentorship to those that are leaving in the future. Yeah. And that's what we want to try to develop. And we're working on.
You hit on a lot of good points. I'm going to tell you real quick here. 2 years out, you ought to start the process. Pay all your bills off. Know where you want to live. Start that networking process. Start float. I know you got a resume already. Start floating that resume with everybody. Send one to me. You never know what'll happen, but float that resume. And really, one you hit on a lot of stuff is knowing what your worth is. And so talk to a lot of people about you know, financially, you know, what should I be asking for a job. And then the last thing is they'll send you an offer letter. And on that offer letter, they're going to say, I'm going to offer you so much. Get one of those mentors that you have to take a look at your offer letter. Because a lot of times, because of some of the benefits that you have, like TRICARE and all the rest of that stuff, there's a little bit of room there, fudge room a little bit, to ask for additional money based on what the Army or what the government's going to give you on your disability. We're talking with Sergeant Major Estrada and recently retired from the U.S. Army, and you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, your host with your host, Jack Eftoli, 12th Sergeant Major, Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us and click on that subscribe button. Sergeant Major, to continue on the discussion, motivating and inspiring others others has been a big part of your life, even so much to create your own brand, Mega Hua. I heard that a couple Mega times.
Hula.
Yeah, man. Can you tell us a little bit about how that got started?
Well, you know, it was a time when I became a young sergeant. During the time you were in the Army, there, Sergeant Major.
Well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, it's as a young sergeant, you know, you start to think about, man, what I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But at the end of the day, the one thing you don't think about is the trust. How are you going to be trust in your team, and then how do you invest in your team? You know, we're always talking about it's a team effort, you know, my squad, my team, all that stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to have buy-in. And my investment to my team is how I created the Mega Hole. it was, first you got to believe in your brand and understand that it's going to do what you want it to do. But, my brand, it just went off a little different than what I expected, because, I just wanted to reach the team and make sure they understood, look, leading by example is, for me, leading by example, it doesn't mean that I'm bigger, better, and stronger. It meant that I wanted to be there with you. I wanted to be in the mud. I wanted to be in that hard PT run. I wanted to be there so I could win your trust and you knew I was there for you, you know. And then you go back to the presence part, you know, bringing value to my team and ensuring that they understood that it was all about them, not about me. And so instead of that, you know, I used to always say, you know, the other squads would be like, yeah, I had them do this. And I was like, yeah, my team did this. You know, it was never about I.
Yeah.
I turned the M upside down and it was we. It never was me. It was we. We as a team did this, you know. And then so then I went on to social media later on and it took off because people looked at the Mega Hool as me because of all the hard PT. At the same time, I was doing hard PT, talking about, you know, what leadership meant to me. It was a decision you got to wake up every morning and you have to validate it every day. It's not something that you do once and it's over. No, every day is a new day. You have to bring a different type of fire to the table. And I think that just resonated with a lot of soldiers. You know, here's this leader, you know, up in the morning, waking us up, calling us out, and he's doing it. What is that, a log? Is he carrying a log with his vest? This dude's crazy, you know, and it just took off from there. And the team just followed, you know, and everywhere I went, it was like, Mega who, Mega that. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, I was on vacation. We went to Hawaii and me and my wife were sitting in the airport and there was like, I think about 5 or 6 soldiers sitting across from us. And then my wife leaned over and she's like, babe, they keep looking at you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. They probably know me. And then one got up, you know, built the initiative to come up to me and say, hey, are you Command Sergeant Major Mega Hool? And I was like, that is one of the names that go by.
Yeah.
And he turns around. He's like, I told you. And they all came over and sat with me. He's like, do you mind? We'd like to talk to you for an hour. And I was like, sure. And we sat there for about an hour and a half before our flight. And we talked about, you know, leadership, mentorship. Lead, motivate, and inspire, you know, what a leader should be like. And, you know, they left there pretty happy. They took pictures, you know, like, man, nobody's going to believe we met the Mega Hool. But that's the kind of thing. It's not the ego. It's the motivation and inspiration that you give others, you know, knowing that, hey, if this guy can do it, we can do it too.
Yeah, I got to tell you a real quick, funny story. I was working, this has been a while back, I was working out a gym, working out up in Fort Myers, a gym. So I'm working out on this elliptical. And this young soldier walks by me once, he walks by me twice. He walks by me the third time. The third time he stopped, he says, are you the former Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley? I says, you know, I felt real good. I saw my chest sort of popped up a little bit. I said, yeah, I sure am. He said, man, you look a lot younger in your photo. I said, what? All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with recently retired, I want to make sure I get that correct, from the U.S. Army, Command Sergeant Major Herman Estrada, and I want all of our viewers to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. Tell us about what topics you'd like us to cover on the show. And I always like to tell people that we want to cover things you want us to cover. We want to help our family, our veteran community. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach back out to you. Don't be surprised. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. Sergeant Major, I see where you have quite a presence on social media. How has that helped you communicate your vision of motivation and inspiration and leadership?
You know, social media could work great and it could be bad for you. But in my instance, you know, for me alone, it's been one of the culminating events of my career. And I think taking to social media, you know, most leaders like, you know, social media can harm you. But to motivate that many people and have everyone, you know, reach out to you after a couple years, you know, and telling you, hey, you've helped me through some hard times.
Yeah.
It's been great. You know, it's one of my things that I look forward to every morning because it's like I wake up and I'm like, what am I going to talk about today? But if there's one thing I always remind them, that it's the opportunities. The opportunities are always present. And it's all about you making the decision and the choices, as you can tell, you know, because I talk about that as my life story, to be successful in whatever it is you want to do. It doesn't necessarily have to be PT. It could be academically. It could be a leader. It could be whatever is going on in your life. And social media has helped me do that. You know, I can share my family and their success for my kids graduating from college and going to school at a different college or joining the military, you know, because everybody can relate to those things. But what you can't get wrong is the process. Yes, we're different people. Yes, our outcomes are different, but the process is always the same. You cannot focus on your destiny right away. You got to focus on that journey. And what I've done with that social media is just to do that, give people hope and even inspiration at times. I've also reached out and had a lot of people reached out to me. I had an officer, I remember it was a major, and he sent me this long message on Messenger. And he's like, I want to tell you, I didn't like the NCO Corps. That's why I got out of the military. I thought the NCO Corps was useless and it just controlled stuff that really they didn't know what they were doing. And he went on this big rant about how he hated us and everything and how he got out because of the NCOs. And then finally it got to the part where he's like, until I met you, until I seen you on social media, and I've been following you for quite a while. And he talked about how I had rebuilt that trust in him because he seen me talk and do and lead by example, you know, and it made him, you know, feel bad that he left the Army, but he was proud of his service. And, you know, and I told him, I was like, at the end of the day, you know, I can't control how you feel, but I can show you that, you know, we are more than what you think we are, because it's not about being stronger or better. You know, our profession is that we will do everything in our power to do everything to train, to man, equip, maintain and sustain everything that we can to win this nation's war. And that's what I'm about. And, he wrote me back and told me, hey, I appreciate that. You know, you're what everyone should be doing. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Not everybody's cut out to do, you know, that. But just messages like that, you know, made me happy to hear people overcoming adversity, scoring the first APFT 300 or scoring high on the ACFT because they did some workout I was doing. But it's great. I mean, it's been one of those culminating events for me.
Those are all great comments. But what advice would you give leaders for leveraging social media? Because a lot of leaders are really hesitant to get on social media.
You know, I tell them, I sat down with not to put him on the spot, but General Clark, you know, he came here to Fort Carson as they began their podcast. And, you know, the things I told him is, sir, you know, social media could be good or bad. You have to have moderators. There are people out there wanting to corrupt it, but you can't be as scared. You have to embrace it. It's called change. And with change comes opportunity, not only for you as a leader, but for soldiers, for the social media people that are watching you, you know, and as long as you watch what you say and how you say it and you have some type of tact, that's why I don't use names. I don't blame organizations. I try to correct people and tell them, look, you got the institution messed up with the other bubble that's inside the institution, because the leaders are in the institution and the Army is the institution. So the Army has been around for years. It's new leaders that come in and make, you know, the trouble sometimes, doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong things. And that's what I tell them, you know, and just be true, be upfront, read what's true, and everything will be fine.
You know, what I do is
and I've had one.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sergeant Ryder.
No, and I've had multiple friends, you know, that are on social media say the same thing. You know, you can't be afraid of something new. Just because you fear it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just understanding that it's going to happen. And I reach my soldiers here. You know, they know me through social media. They knew me before I even got here. So social media introduced me to the last two organizations before I got there. So, you know, it could be used for good. But at the same time, be cognizant of your audience, know your audience, and understand, don't talk about something you don't understand or you don't know nothing of. I don't go around talking about too much finances because I'm not no finance, you know, major. But I am always talking about leadership and mentorship because at the end of the day, that's what my job calls for. You know, what am I going to do to be innovative in how I mentor and influence my soldiers? And this is one of the ways.
Yeah. What I was going to say a minute ago is honest and fair. And be honest about your comments. Be fair about your comments. The other thing, if I think it's important, if you want to make a correction or say something off the side, you know what I do, and it's probably not the right thing to do, but I'll say, hey, look, would you mind calling me? And here's my number. Give me a call. And really, what I do is I talk to them one-on-one and see if I can sort of coach them and get them to understand and, you know, understand exactly what I'm saying. You know, I love the saying, we must motivate ourselves. I'm going to read it right. We must motivate ourselves to inspire to do the same. I'm sure you've had some wonderful success stories about, you know, that you can share with us where you have motivated others to achieve maybe something they've never thought they could do.
You know, being in this organization, I don't know if you've heard, but this organization has done we call it the Secretariat. They've won all in 1 year. We won the best SSA. They as the soldiers, they won the best SSA, the best warrior restaurant, and then they won the best maintenance program.
Ooh.
And things like that is, you know, motivating because they didn't want to, some of them didn't want to do it. You know, I'm like, you got to believe in yourself. I don't think we got what it takes. You know, and you tell some of those first sergeants or platoon sergeants or whoever, you know, like you have to believe in yourself. You know, you have to inspire yourself before you can inspire your team because they're going to go off of your energy. The energy you have is what's going to introduce to the soldiers and they're going to go off of that. Mm-hmm. And I continue to tell them, like, you know, I am the pulse of the organization, meaning that I bring in whatever. If I'm stressed out, the unit's going to be stressed out. If I'm motivated, the unit's going to be motivated. So I've always used that, you know, get up in the morning, inspire your soldiers, inspire yourself to do great things. And it has to begin with you. Just like, you know, they say to lead others, you have to lead yourself first, you know, and that's making right decisions and things. So that's how I always push my methodology or mindset in the organization. And that whole thing that I talked about, you know, I'm not going to measure you with my ruler. I have to measure it with yours. You know, what are your strongness? Where's your strong areas? What are your weak areas? What are we doing to overcome them? What are we doing to teach you new methods? And those are things that are important, you know, to the soldiers. And I owe that to them and the leaders.
Yeah. Well, first, let me tell you that I'm proud to talk to somebody like you that is a sergeant major, because like I said, I've been out of the Army for quite a while now, but guys like you motivate me because you have the passion, you have the heart, you have the drive, you have the enthusiasm, you have the motivation that do exactly what this Army needs us to do. And I'm sure you've led a lot of really great people and just really, not just for me, but all the military service members and all that other stuff. I want to thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do. Are there any final thoughts that you want to share with the audience? Anything that you want to tell us before we hang up? Because I've enjoyed talking to you, but unfortunately, we're not finished here.
Okay. You know, I do so much on social media, but, you know, I like to share a couple of things, you know. And it's not big stuff, but at the end of the day, you know, as you hear us talk and about leadership, mentorship, everything, so I pose a question to every leader out there is how do we honor those leaders who have invested in us? And you got to think about it. But, you know, for me, it's we have to pass the equity forward to upcoming leaders. And that equity is everything that they've invested in you, the time, the knowledge, all that stuff. It creates equity because as you begin as a leader to move forward and become the next level, you begin to harness that stuff and you begin to add more and more. And when it comes to the end, like now for me that I'm transitioning, it's important that I take that equity and I pass it to every soldier and I give it to those leaders because it's important for me as a leader. And it's important for them as soldiers. Okay, so then there's another thing I want to put out. As a leader, our position is to build others up. It's not, our job is not to tear down people. It's not to come in an organization and tear the organization up. It's about making it better than what you found it. And how do you do that? By inspiring them and empowering your people to make those choices and make those decisions so they can own it. And when they begin to own those decisions that they made, it inspires them to want to be better. You know, it grows all in. You have to let them grow around you. And that's when you start to see your organization flourish. You know, you get to see the greatness that each soldier has. Communication. I talk about communication all the time. It has to begin with you. You have to fine tune it. And the way you fine tune it is important. It's the ability to present what you want done through communication. In fact, you know, I've met many leaders that can't do that. You know, they're not very informative. They're not clear, precise, and to the point. And you have to understand that if a soldier can take it the wrong way, they will do that. And that's only because the way we communicate with our soldiers. And how do we make sure that don't happen? You calibrate with others. You have to be effectively communicate with those individuals. And you have to do it with everyone. You know, you can't communicate with a soldier the way you communicate with a sergeant. You can't communicate with a sergeant how you communicate with a first sergeant. It's different levels and understanding their positions and their maturity level. And when you do those things, it helps your organization be better. All right. And then the last thing I'll leave y'all with is the most, we always have to find a way to come to work and feel like we're at our best. All right. I know it's hard because sometimes I don't always feel my best. But when you feel your best, you perform your best. And that's important for your organization. It brings purpose and meaning every day to each individual that you engage with. And it makes them feel like they're ready to come home to work. And that's what they'll call it. Hey, I'm ready to go to work. But those are things that are important to me as I begin to transition. Don't ever forget the people concept. You know, we're all humans before we were NCOs or soldiers. You can't leave with the rank that's on your chest. You have to leave with your heart, your mind, and remember the things that you've been taught. But at the end of the day, remember, we're all in this process together. So from me to you, have a great day. And it was great being on the show, Sergeant Major. I appreciate it. I enjoy social media. I enjoy mentorship. I enjoy talking to soldiers. I enjoy sharing my story and being a part of something like this. So thank you.
Well, let me give you a big mega hooah.
Mega hooah.
Mega, I'm with you. Hey, thanks again to Sergeant Major Estrada. I'm Jack Attilli, 12th Sergeant Major Army, and you've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for watching today. Please visit our website on yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say leave me a good review, but if you got to leave me a bad one, I can take that too. You can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. Also, please visit our corporate partners there and see all the jobs that are available for you. please know we want to assist you in any way we can. I always like to say this twice. Please know we want to assist you in any way we can. Please follow me on all of my personal social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And yes, I never thought I'd ever say that. And if you enjoyed this discussion with Sergeant Major Estrada, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Sergeant Major Estrada for being with us today. It was a great having you on the podcast. And now it's my turn to say something. Listen to Sergeant Major Estrada. I have so many things that sort of running through my mind, but I'm going to give you two, or really maybe three. The first one is lead by example. Show not just soldiers, but people that you work with what right looks like. Lead by example. Develop and mentor the people around you. And make sure you're a good communicator. Make sure you take the time to communicate with the people that you're working with each and every day. And the last thing I'll tell you is be a good listener. Listen to the people that are around you. Listen to the people that you want to help develop in your organization or in your Army or in your Navy or Air Force or Marine Corps, whatever it may be. But lead them and listen to them and care about them. And Sergeant Major Estrada was really right. It's all about people. It's about taking care of people. Just don't talk about it. Do it. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to Cloudcast Media, New Mind Studios, and of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.